It's time for the Biblical Prophecy Program with your host, Dr. Alan Kirshner of Eschatos Ministries.
Hey, welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Biblical Prophecy Program. So, has it ever happened to you in which you were discussing biblical prophecy at church, or maybe one of the elders or pastors came down on you and basically, in so many words, maybe not explicitly, said, look, don't talk about this topic because this doctrine, you know, it divides the church and we want unity, not disunity. Or maybe there's this implicit idea or tacit agreement among the church, you know, we don't discuss this issue. Well, that is actually setting up for division, and that's what I'm going to be talking about on my program today. But first of all, I want to mention that we are almost halfway meeting our goal for a 2025 fundraising campaign. We're looking for 25 new partners for 2025. And in fact, it's called 25 new partners for 2025 campaign. And you have to understand, we are a super small but effective ministry. And I promise you that your small monthly support is helpful. And many of you may know that, you know, this is, I often give a reminder that, you know, I currently support my family through this ministry. So, you know, if you benefit from this program or other resources at Eschatos Ministries, I ask to consider supporting this by becoming a ministry partner, which is a giving on a monthly basis. And you can go to alankirshner.com and sign up, or I'll put a link in the show notes. But we're about halfway. We have 12 new partners. We also have someone matching the 25 new partners who signed up for in this campaign. So who's willing to match $300 for the first year of the new partners. So yeah, much appreciated. Please consider it. I get it. You know, you can get podcasts for free. You know, this is a free podcast. But, you know, on the other end, there's someone, myself, you know, taking the time, creating the content, working behind the scenes. And, of course, the podcast isn't the only thing. We're doing writing, trying to finish a book here by the springtime. So a lot's going on, and really would appreciate your support. Thank you. All right, so I'm been going through a series on platitudes. You know, why biblical prophecy matters. And for a lot of people, this might surprise some, it doesn't matter. In fact, for many, not only does biblical prophecy not matter, but they would see it as not necessary at all. In fact, it's divisive, they would argue. And, you know, it's kind of interesting because this platitude, you know, we'll call it this doctrine divides the church. And again, there's different wordings and expressions you might have heard in the past on this. And now, to be sure, divisive people, they can use this doctrine to divide the church for their own means. That's true. But biblical prophecy is intended to have the opposite effect. For Christians, you know, that is, for Christians, we should be able to disagree in love and truth. I mean, if we can't disagree in love and truth, we might as well just pack it up and stop being a Christian. But it is not an excuse. This is important. This is not an excuse to ignore biblical prophecy out of fear of division. But let me tell you, it is very strong for many in the church, especially a lot of times this comes from the pastors or the elders. But I'm going to argue that actually what promotes division and disunity is conformity and silence, conformity and silence will create, you know, the division and disunity. So it's this idea that churches should not enforce, conformity. Okay, in other words, requiring new members to hold to a particular view on the rapture or the millennium. I mean, you can have a certain position, but it's, well, let me put it this way. You know, you have to hold this view or else it's our way or the highway. And, you know, churches should take a position on these matters, you know, preaching and teaching their flock on these issues, but there should not be a requisite belief to become local church members on these matters. So those cardinal doctrines that should be required, of course, just to name a few, justification by faith alone, Christ's deity and resurrection from the dead, Jesus' future physical resurrection return. And while one's view on the rapture or the millennium should not be a cardinal article of the Christian faith, it should not minimize a church's passion and zeal to explicate these important end time truths. So churches also should not enforce silence. So you got, again, conformity and silence. So they should not enforce silence on their members on the topic of biblical prophecy out of fear of division. Like, for, you know, quote, well, you can have your own personal view, but don't share it with others in the church. And if you do, you are a divider. That's the message that is often sent. So avoiding discussion on biblical prophecy and other biblical issues, what it does is it sets up the church for disunity. Can you imagine the same pastor who said, you know, let's say you're having problems in your marriage. The same pastor says, you know what, let's not talk about it. You know, we need to have silence on this issue to create unity. You would look at that pastor and rightly believe that pastor is derelict in their duty. What do you mean, stay silent on disagreement, you know, to create unity? No, you talk it out. You want the marriage couple who is having problems, talk it out. Why? So you can have unity. And even at the end of the day, even if there's still disagreement, you can still have a spirit of unity. See, this is the flaw. This is the inconsistency of pastors. They want marriage couples to discuss their disagreements, right? Why? To create unity. But then somehow when it comes to doctrine, we have to everyone be quiet so we can create unity. No, that's false unity. And it's actually going to create more disunity. So, and there is a difference between division and disagreement. Christians should have the maturity to disagree in love and truth. We should not blame the Bible or God's intended doctrine for divisiveness, but blame divisive people. See, using quote-unquote unity as a cover to avoid prospective divisive people will inevitably result in disunity. So a third option is it's the biblical and pastoral approach that promotes unity. And it also proclaims the whole counsel of God's word. And that is promoting meaningful interaction. Imagine that, right? We can have spirited debates, and even if everyone does not agree, at the end of the day, there can be a spirit of unity when God's people seek truth together. So may pastors and their church members, you know, be more concerned with grappling with God's truth than worried about potential disagreement. Meaningful interaction within the church is a good thing, and conformity and silence is not. Okay, next time we're going to talk about the last platitude that's intended to deflate one's enthusiasm for biblical prophecy, or at least, you know, put people in silence or conformity. And that platitude is, quote, you should be concerned with evangelism, not biblical prophecy. So that's the last of the pietistic platitude. And that's what maybe I should have mentioned on this other, the one that we discussed today, this doctrine divides the church. It's a form of the pietistic idea. You know, I'm above the fray, right? Well, this is another one. You should be concerned with evangelism, not biblical prophecy. We're going to have quite a bit to say on that one, especially how, you know, that contradicts Paul's teaching and Jesus's teaching, actually, as if, you know, evangelism and biblical prophecy are somehow can be compartmentalized and they're polar or they're disconnected activities. Hey, guys, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.